mile of flapjacks.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah.
I need another beer.
Man, is this guy an idiot.
That's the percentage he could butter my biscuits.
Oh, I am going to slide the butter on that shit. It is going to melt away all over your biscuits. And that's, I feel like that's legit.
Playing games with my heart.
My God, my real piece of shit.
Fucking
close. Can you answer the question? Or?
No, I'd rather fail. No? What?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're back. It's been, I guess, two very long weeks, and we have decided to, grace everybody with our wonderful.
I knew you were going there. I was like, he's gonna say grace. with our presence.
Yes, with our presence. I was gonna say our wonderful voices, not presence.
Yeah, well, you know what? We touched on my voice once before, and I mentioned that I sound like the peanut M&M.
Yes.
That's wrong. I sound like I'm in slow motion.
Well,
yeah, you know, like when those guys
possible.
Are like, no, I'm like, oh God,
really
my voice is terrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? I don't have a great voice either. So I mean, it just is what it is. Is what it is. So we got a lot to talk about, and we'll get into all that because there's a lot of fun sports talk. But so I had an awkward moment last week that I wanted to talk about. And
get personal?
Well, it's not personal per se. Okay. It happened at work, and I think I made the moment awkward at work.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
So I feel like I created the awkward moment. And okay, so I was in my boss's office. My boss is a big dude, 6 foot something, 280 pounds. Just a monster, like 6'7", just a huge dude.
Oh, huge man, yeah.
Yeah, and we're shooting the shit and we get out of the office and there's He proceeds to walk over to this girl's cubicle at work that just got back. She was off for like a month. Really nice lady. I talked to her. She's very nice. Like, you know, nothing bad about it. General social interaction. Exactly. Nothing bad about it. But it was very nice. I talked to her all the time. She has to deal with a lot of the stuff that I have to put through at work. And so I've got a really good rapport with her. But I know that my boss does too, but she's only been there a couple of years. But where the moment started to get awkward is that he proceeds to walk into the cubicle, and she kind of gets up, and he gives her like a friend hug, right? And immediately, I make the situation very awkward because he pulls away from the hug. And she proceeds to step out of the cubicle, anticipating I am also going to give a hug. I do not give a hug. I freeze in the moment. And I'm like, I don't know why he gave you a hug. Why do I have to give you a hug? I don't want to. And then it was one
that
of those.
Is,
I'm
that
having
is, did
the
she
debate.
Go all the way in? And did you insert the handshake?
No, I didn't.
Did
she
you? Because it would have been so much better if, like, she's going for the open arm hug, and you're like, boom, and you block her. You basically build a frame with the handshake, and you're like, nah.
I didn't do the handshake, but it was one of those moments where I'm going over it in my head, like, okay, I should have did it. I can't do it now. I can't do it now. Like, the conversation now kicked up on how her trip was and blah, 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 and she'd been gone for a month. And this whole time, I'm like, and she, like, stepped out, and I'm like, well, I can't do it now. It's too late. Like, had I had done it in the whole moment, it would have been fine. Now it's even awkward if I even attempt to try to move in for the hug.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, it's
yeah.
terrible.
You know what?
No,
I thought about
it. You ruined it.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
You know what? I thought about it. Maybe I should have. Maybe
oh, man. That's so awesome. I just keep picturing the look on your face, like when she comes out of the cubicle and you're just like, what?
Yeah, like deer in a headlights, and I froze. Like,
yeah.
I stood there.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm like,
man.
I'm not going for the hug. I don't. Like, I didn't know we're on this level. And I to be honest, I wasn't sure. Like, I was like, why is my boss on this level? Like, it was an awkward. Like, I was like, like, he even knows her less than I do. So this is weird. Like, right? And I'm just. And, you know, I mean, whatever. You know, it's just one of those moments. So I was thinking about the whole time. And as I walk out and I laugh, I walk out with my boss. And he kind of is going up the stairs. And he's kind of still thinking I'm talking about the conversation. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. And then he's like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, her trip. I'm like, no. I didn't go for the hug. And he just starts dying, right? And he's like, I thought about it a quick second when you didn't go for the hug. Like, well, I just went for a hug. And you're not. So he was thinking about it just as much as I was. And I'm like, yeah, I left her hanging because she totally backed up into the cubicle, back into her seat, and like slinked back into the cubicle. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I can't now. It's over. The moment is past.
No, it's totally fucked now. Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely
had
perfect.
I done
that's
it
such
in
that
one...
is such like an awkward social situation.
Oh.
You're just like, you don't even know what to do with it after, like, and you try to play it off, you know? It's like a yeah, and everybody that's involved knows what just happened, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what it
well,
is?
That's
it's
say,
like a fart in sex, you know? It's like when somebody farts in sex, and you're like, don't talk about it, don't point it out, don't even break stride, you know? Just keep on going, keep on keeping on, man.
Oh, yeah. It was a moment, and I remember, I came back, and I was telling a guy at work, and he's like, you created it. You made the awkward moment. There was no other awkward moment except for you being the awkward moment.
You being a frigid bitch.
I hesitated, and I hesitated too long, therefore creating the moment.
the entire three-minute
conversation, I'm sure.
It would have been worse if you would have stutter-stepped in, like, I don't... like you faked
did
her
the
out.
One-arm but, side man, hug, you know? Like
honestly, what you should have done there, you got to own those situations, and you're like, you got to own them and just, like, make it funny, right? Like, as soon as it happens, be like, I was not prepared for a hug.
you know?
Like, make it totally weird, or insert the hand.
Yeah, yeah. Just go for the shake.
No, we handshake on this floor.
Yeah. Or just do the
Matt Lauer happening up in here.
Yeah, just do like the left arm little shoulder squeeze, you know, like the reach over here, the shoulder squeeze. You know, hey, how you doing? I hugged you with my hand.
Yeah. Oh, I'm joking. hey, champ.
That was your just trip. A little shoulder squeeze.
Oh, the shoulder squeeze. Great to have you back.
Yeah.
Great to have you back. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wicked.
That's a good moment. That's a good moment.
Oh, that is a great moment. That is a great moment. Okay. You need to give me 2 seconds here. I just got to put some laundry in. Put us on pause.
Okay.
All right. Awkward Will. And it's no hugs.
Yes. Sorry. It was just one of those things I couldn't, I don't know. That was like
hashtag hug life.
If somebody was on the outside, that would have been like a train wreck you couldn't turn away from.
Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely. You'd be like, what just happened here? Why won't you hug this poor woman? You animal. What's wrong with you? Just she's obviously wants the hug. Just go for the hug. Oh man, that's so good, dude. I'm not good. That's so good.
Yeah.
Awkward social situations always suck, though. Like, once you're in it and you realize you're in it, you really do have to own it, man. You really do, right? Like, so I can give you a brief example. So, one of the black belts at my jiu-jitsu club, I do private lessons with, right? And he's a super cool guy, man. Really, really cool. Like, we're getting to be friends. And I showed up to class one day and I asked a question to Steve, the head of the club, that I had asked Sean already, but Sean was like, I don't really know, maybe we should ask Steve. And I'm like, okay. So I ended up asking Steve in front of everybody. Well, Sean corrects me in front of Steve and then gives me the finger, and I'm like, huh. Like, I wonder if he's just fucking around. I'm assuming he's just fucking around, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, he's just joking around. So at the end of class that day, we're doing that handshake, and he's like, fuck you, Kevin. And he walked away, right? And I'm like, oh. I'm like, I think I pissed him off, right? I'm like, oh, no. I think I just pissed Sean off. So I sent him a message. I'm like, I thought about it. I'm like, nah, man, he's just fucking around. I'm like, nah. I sent him a message. I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I'm like, hey, man, sorry if I pissed you off. I definitely wasn't, you know, intending to piss you off. And sent him, like, an apology text, right? And he texts me back, and he's like, what are you fucking talking about, you pussy bitch? And I'm like, oh, my God. I knew he was just fucking around. There's no way out of it at that point, right? You're just a pussy, right? I'm just like, ah, fuck. Like, I'm never going to hear the end of this. And he's like, no, never. No, fucking never. I'm like, well, there you go. It'd be like if I sent an apology text to you, and you'd be like, you fucking vagina.
Like, why?
How dare you apologize to me? You're just fucking sitting here with getting my feelings hurt.
Apologize.
You know what I mean? You're committed at that point, right?
Yeah, we don't apologize. Like, ah, we don't apologize for nothing. Not on this show, not in our friendship.
Mm-mm. But I don't know Sean that well, right? I've only known him for like
fair enough.
six months. But you?
Yeah, no, fuck
I'm
you.
I'm apologizing to you.
Fuck you.
As soon as I apologize, you smell the weakness. It's like a jackal.
It's like blood. There's blood.
Smell, you know,
there's
sharp blood. Smell of blood in the water. He'd be like, oh, he's fucking slipping.
Yeah.
Pussy bitch.
Blood in the water. Bitch ass.
That's it, bitch ass motherfuckers. All right.
Well, fuck. Let's let's talk some sports, man.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
I really want to talk about the a couple of the football games this weekend.
Oh my God! What a weekend of
football! It was a good weekend of football. It was a lot of fun. I mean, Saturday's games were what it was. I think the New England Tennessee game, I think we all knew that was going to be what it was. Yeah. Philadelphia Atlanta game was kind of a defensive endurance battle, but
yeah.
Sunday turned out to be really nice.
Sunday was really nice. I was impressed, like with Jacksonville coming out over Pittsburgh, man, especially with the game that Big Ben had. I mean, he had almost 500 yards, man. He had 5 TDs.
Mm-hmm. He did.
He had 5 fucking TDs, and he still lost.
And he still lost, but they put themselves in a hole. Jacksonville got off to a hot start, and Pittsburgh had a chase in the rest of the game.
Pittsburgh defense, man, I mean, you literally gave up 38 points to Blake Bortles.
Mm. 45.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to come back from. But I mean, and to only lose by 3. And then, I mean, to be honest with you, my favorite game of the year was New Orleans, Minnesota.
I sent you a text. You gave me nothing back. I was a little disappointed.
Listen, man, I can't be expected to just drop everything and text you whenever. But that being said, I should have responded to that one because I was
thumbs,
like,
bro.
What a game.
Thumbs, bro.
What a fucking game, man. Did you say no thumbs?
I said use your thumbs.
Use your thumbs. Yeah, listen. I don't spend my life glued to my phone, man.
I don't either. But I just, you know what? When I said your sports text, and I'm like, hey, yo, did you see that incredible fucking game? To the finish of that game was just astonishing. Yeah, it was a really good game. It was one of the better playoff games I've seen in a long time. I'll tell you. I mean, I was rooting for Minnesota. And New Orleans started marching back, and I thought, wow, they're in trouble. It's a Minnesota thing. I didn't think that they were going to be able to recover from that, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if it's Case Keenan threw a great throw. Well, okay, he did, but let's be honest. That tackle, I tagged you in that meme today, and that was very funny. Did you see the meme today?
The Stone Cold?
Yeah, the Stunner.
Yeah, just the Stunner.
And you feel terrible for the rookie, but I'll tell you, he was a rookie, but I don't know what the fuck he was doing on that play.
Mm-mm.
Because because New Orleans, as far as I'm concerned, was going to the NFC Championship game, and that
did he trip?
Never happened. No,
did he trip, or what was he doing? Because he was nowhere near him.
He wasn't anywhere near him. But you know what the new rules in football right now, and there's so much emphasis on being able to hit a player, one, hit him late, or hit him early, interference, a pass interference. They've really put a dent in a lot of defensive style play. And I think, all honestly, he moved in to try to hit him and realized he moved too early on the hit. And I think he jumped the gun and then didn't want to hit him too early and missed him completely. And it just screwed him. And the worst part was is that he barrel rolled into his own player that could have probably caught him.
And the walk-off TD.
Oh, you know, that place was going bananas. That was a really cool moment.
It was a cool moment. It was a really good game because I got no investment in either one of those teams.
No, I couldn't get
it. So it was like kind of fun watching like just a battle, you know? Just a battle going back and forth.
It was a really good game, it was so much fun to see them go, you know? They hit the touchdown and you go up 21-20. They go back. You know, Jacksonville gets the field goal, goes up, you know, it's 23-21, and then they get it, and then New Orleans marches right back down the field. No time left, basically, what was it, 25 seconds left on the clock. Makes it a one-point game at 24-23. With 25 seconds on the clock, somehow Minnesota finds its way in the end zone. It was an incredible moment, incredible story. That crowd, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. I can guarantee There was 10,000 people in the hallways leaving. Like, I would imagine there was a lot of people on the way out the door. Why would they want to? They weren't wanting. They didn't think that was going to happen. No timeouts, 25 seconds on the clock, and Case Keenum at the helm. Not really what you'd be, banking your future on. But he did it, and they're moving on. So that was really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the NFC and AFC championships, man. I mean, it should be...
Are we giving the New England Patriots the Super Bowl already?
No. No, I'm not. Because I, despite the fact that they beat up on the Titans, I wasn't, like, that impressed. And I haven't been that impressed with New England for most of the year. They do have lapses, man. They are beatable. And they are... I mean, and with the teams that are left, I mean, what do we got? Minnesota, we got Minnesota, Jacksonville in the AFC, right? Mm. And we've got who do we got in the NFC? It's New England and Philadelphia.
No,
I don't know.
No,
Philly could do
no,
it, man.
No. It's gonna be New England, Jacksonville. Minnesota, Philadelphia.
Okay, right. Sorry, wrong way. So, I mean, I don't know, Jacksonville, man. I mean, they've been a Cinderella story all year. Nobody expects them to do that well. Their defense is pretty good, man. They've got a pretty good defense, and they beat Pittsburgh, surprisingly enough. And Pittsburgh, we all know what happened in the New England game against Pittsburgh. They had them. They had New England beat, and, I mean, bad call, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, it just always seems like it's rolling out really nice. And when you look at the quarterback landscape right now, and it also makes it a little bit interesting, too, that maybe we're in an era now that we don't need the all-star quarterbacks to carry teams to Super Bowls. Because, I mean, if you look at the landscape with Case Keenum, Jake Bortles, for crying out loud, and of course, Wentz going down, and you got Foles in Nick Foles.
Yeah. And imagine having that kind of backup. Your Carson Wentz goes down, and you have Nick Foles as your backup.
Yeah, which I always thought was decent enough. Like, I always liked Foles, but he's doing his job, and he's doing what he needs to. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Wentz might or could return for Super Bowl if they were to go.
Do you pull him back in for the Super Bowl?
I don't know. He got him that far.
Cold?
He was that good.
I've always been fucking phenomenal.
But phenomenal. I think he was MVP before he went down, as far as
I would say he was close to it, man. Yeah. I don't know, man. New England seems beatable to me. And Brady, I don't know what it is about Brady, man. I'm like watching some stuff on TV and like seeing some of his tweets and shit. Like, is he losing his mind a little bit?
Well, I you have to think, is it? I always wondered that anyways. And now... Is it losing his mind or just when you've just been absolutely amazing at every single fucking aspect of your life forever, maybe it just gets to you. Maybe he's just so full of himself and so far gone like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's untouchable.
Did you see the text he wrote? The post he put up about him being like a warrior?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah. The
I'm like, what is going on here? What, dude, that's some weird shit, man. Like, why are you even talking like that? It's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady. You don't need to talk like that. Yeah, of course not. No, you're Tom Brady. Hi, I'm Tom Brady. Enough said. Thanks. Moving on.
Thanks.
You
know, I'm Tom Brady. I win football games.
Yeah. Championships after championship. Probably the greatest quarterback who ever lived because of the championship rings.
I have a lot of Super Bowl rings, and I sleep with supermodels. Yes. Hi, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Good to meet you.
Pretty much perfect. MVP warrior at age 39.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just everything about him recently has been really weird. Like they kicked his trainer out of off site. You see this shit? That weirdo that like is not treating other people, but he's in business with Brady. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, I imagine
is he losing it a little bit? I think he might be losing it.
Would you not think it's extremely tough to play for him?
Like, for could Brady?
You not, yeah, could
or
you
for
not
Belichick?
But Brady. I mean, Belichick, too, but I mean...
Brady! Sorry. You totally stuttered there, and it was like, it was just awesome. Brady!
I was just doing the Sanford and Son. Why?
All right, okay. Very good.
Sweet. Me and I give the Black Folks love. I mean, after I brought a Commodore, and now I'm bringing up Sanford and Son. Like, come on.
Did you just say the Black Folks?
Did I say that? Yeah, I said that. Whatever.
Oh, that's not that. We don't talk like that on our show, okay? The Black Folks. I give the Black Folks the love. Yeah.
How am I gonna edit that out? How am I gonna edit that out if you talk about it for 7 minutes?
I just said giving the Black Folks some love. Because that's what I do. See what I said? Now you're hearing it? You're like, yeah, that's fucking, it's fucking
weird.
Yeah,
it's really racist
to say that.
Wow.
How about a little shout out to the Black Folks?
Whatever.
Hi, Bill and Kevin here on the podcast.
Hey,
shout out to all the Black folks.
I'm no Oprah.
Keeping it
real. I'm no Oprah.
Definitely aren't Oprah.
Oh, no, I'm not an Oprah. I'm not an Oprah. Most racist woman on the planet.
Oprah?
Yes. Absolutely.
What?
She's the most racist woman on the planet. She is so... We can't even go and get into this because we can't... No, we can't. We can't.
No, let's talk about something. Let's not do this.
Let's not go into politics or Oprah.
Oprah is a friend of the show.
Oprah is a friend of the show.
Any friend of the show
we had before.
But yes, playing for Brady... I can't imagine it would be easy. He seems like... He must be like a real arrogant motherfucker.
You would have to think that it's very arrogant. You see the way he screams at people on the sideline.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he would be an asshole.
Do you think that's why New England has such a high
turnover rate? Unless you're Gronk, he's an asshole. What's that?
Do you think that's why New England has such a high turnover rate?
Well, I
would
imagine
like New England,
very difficult.
He's never won a Super Bowl with the same team ever.
No, it's always turning and moving.
Is it a budget thing? Is it a Robert Kraft?
Well, I don't think it's a budget.
You know,
thing.
The owner is just like, I don't want to pay, make this money. Is Bill Belichick just that good at like finding these just diamonds in the rough, or is Brady just like impossible to work for? He's just like that crazy uncle, but he's gonna get you a ring. So they're just like, it's Tom, and Tom's just in the background like, fuck yeah. Belichick's like, keep it down, Tom.
We're
playing on Sunday, Tom. It's currently Wednesday. Let's fucking save it down. I'm a fucking warrior. Okay, Tom.
Tweet.
All right,
tweet.
Tom.
We gotta tweet that out. No, but you don't think he has to be a perfectionist, and I would imagine that he is.
You're a little fuzzy right now, Bill.
Fuzzy.
Yeah, I hear static.
I haven't shaved in a while, but
there we go. That's a little better. You know what? I actually saw a documentary one time talking about like elite athletes like that, like the Jordans and the Tom Brady's and the Tiger Woods of the world.
Sure.
And it's almost like a mental disease.
Well, I would imagine it would be, dude. I even see Aaron Rodgers, the way he gets so upset and other people. And it has to be that if you're that good, and you're that good all the time, and you know that you are, but you're a perfectionist, and then it would become a disease. You'd be your OCD to every wrong mistake, everything
yeah.
that goes wrong. And you know, I would imagine they've got mental disabilities for sure. I would imagine
like,
some of
them
are
champions like that don't have balance in their life, right? They don't have any balance. It's like this is they live, breathe, and eat and sleep. You know, football. I bet you Tom Brady's the kind of guy that's like watching film, like right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a supermodel wife,
yeah,
but he's at home. Clicking
blown.
Hours and hours
no.
and hours of defensive footage
yep.
of Jacksonville.
Butter and biscuits while watching film.
He probably has somebody that does it for him.
Butter his biscuits?
He has a guy to, you know, he has someone there to butter biscuits for him. he's too busy watching game film.
He's like, hey, yeah, sorry. You know, got to butter your biscuits.
Were you going to get to that joke anytime? I mean, like, that was really drawn out. I was like, how long is this going to take for him to get to the end of this punchline? And you're just like, so then he's like, you know.
I was working on some technical difficulties.
Okay,
slowly,
all right, that's what it was. I was
slowly,
like, man, this is drawn
it
the
slowly
fuck out.
Distracted me away from the joke, and then I lost my train of thought. And then it was
were
like,
all the,
yeah,
were,
I
were
lost
the,
it.
Were the black people sending you messages?
Yeah,
or is that what was happening?
Honestly, you know what? I mean, I had the fish on the end of the hook. It got away. It left.
the fish on the end of the hook. Very good. Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a Slim Jim.
So, but yeah, oh, man, this was a really good weekend in NFL, man. I was really.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm excited.
We have
to
a lot
see
of good stuff coming up too.
Yeah, I'm excited to see next week. Of course, it's always fun that time of year. I mean, it'd be nice if any of our teams were able to play, but nonetheless, they're not.
No.
But we do have other sports talk, and I can tell you, in the world of hockey, it's been interesting there.
It has been interesting.
It is interesting, and you know, you were saying before, you know, I made that text, oh, Edmonton, they suck, they're losing against Arizona last week, but they beat Arizona, good for them. They struggled.
Came back to win.
They got a good win against Vegas.
Yeah.
But,
at home, too. Vegas at home,
at home, which is weird. It's
hard
to
do.
It's hard to win there. But, nonetheless, they still find themselves in a very, very difficult position.
Yeah.
Just from listening to other people, listening to Strudwick, listening to different things out here in Edmonton, they're done. It's over. They're already, if you listen to AM 1260 here, they're already talking about draft time. And
really?
Yes.
We're not even at the All-Star break.
Draft time. They were talking about what they want to pick up at the draft. They're talking about being sellers. They were going to be buyers. They have to be sellers. And what's the problem with the Edmonton Oilers now is that they're in such big trouble that this was the wonderful opportunity. And if they can't make some kind of magical run, which I don't think it's even in the realm of possibility at this point in time, given where the standings are, given that they just won two games and they still find themselves exactly where they were two games before because other teams are winning and they got a lot of teams to hop. But that being said, this was their window to win, and they blew it. They blew that chance to win. When those big contracts, when McDavid's contract comes into fruition next year, they're in big trouble. They can't be buyers anymore, and they're going to have to refurbish a lot of that team. And I'll tell you, listening to a lot of the radio stations here, I think they're almost really close to being like it's almost like they want to say the word that they shouldn't dare be saying, which is rebuild. I'm like, are you kidding? They're gonna go down that route. But I think they're at a point here in Edmonton that they're understanding that their team is not where it should have been, and not even close. And they got a lot of work to do to get there, because I don't think they have one player. Right now, one player is the only reason Edmonton Oilers could potentially even find their way into a playoffs this season. That's not good enough. So
no,
it's not good enough to get there, and the goaltending has not been good enough either. So they got one player.
Yeah, no, they're in tough right now. Looking at the standings, they do have to make a lot of points up. But I mean, I can't imagine that at this point you're talking rebuild and you're talking draft picks. We're not even at the All-Star break yet, and I mean, literally, they are. What are they? They're 10 points behind. They're 11 points behind Calgary. 11 points. So fucking six games. Six games back.
Okay,
Calgary,
yeah, but hold on. Yes,
for second place in the Pacific.
That's right.
They're not that far off.
No,
man.
But Kevin, like, they are. They are really behind. Because if you go a little bit further down the list, there's a lot of more teams with games in hand. Los Angeles has got two games in hand. They're at 53 points. You have Dallas that's got a game. Minnesota's got the same. But you got San Jose's got four games in hand. Colorado's got some games in hand. Like, all these teams that they got to go around, they're all in a better position. I mean, the very next team ahead of them is 6 points ahead of them. And there's six teams beyond that to get in that area of the wild card. So they're looking at Dallas or Minnesota, and at 53 points, at 10 points out at this stage of the game, that is a big, big, big number with all those other teams ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. They're going to have to go on a big winning streak.
Because remember who you got in front, too. You got San Jose, Chicago, and Anaheim also ahead of you.
Yeah. But, okay, so Anaheim's only 6 points up. Chicago's 7 points. Colorado's 8 points. San Jose is 9 points. And Minnesota in the final playoff spot is 10 points above Edmonton. That's not insurmountable, man. What is there, 24, 25 games left
but
in the season?
It's not even just that. If you look at the way they've been playing and the way they've been doing
it's not looking good right now.
And the stats themselves speak for themselves. They're like, you know, dead last in PK. They're really shit in the power play. Possession numbers, very bad. Like, they're not. Their numbers don't even say that they should be there. It would be a different story if you're like, okay, you're looking at a team that's pretty good, and they, you know, but they just can't find the W's, but it should turn around. The numbers don't say that. And, you know, that's why you have a tough time believing that they're going to be able to pull themselves away from where they're at. I don't see it happening. I mean, Vancouver's only a point behind them. And Vancouver wasn't supposed to be anywhere near the top of that. And they're only a point behind with a game in hand. So in theory, Vancouver could be ahead of the Edmonton Oilers. I feel like this season is not going to be a good one for them. And they could go on a magical run. I'm not saying that it's not possible. We've seen it before. But the likelihood is slim. And I think that they are missing the playoffs after being predicted to win the Stanley Cup. In the preseason,
it's looking like I said, I'm just trying to be devil's advocate. It's looking pretty bleak that they're gonna make the playoffs. They're gonna have, like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they're last in PK. Like, you can't. They're not doing anything to show you that they're gonna win, but it's not impossible for them to come out. It's another one of those situations with Edmonton where you're looking at their team and you're like, oh my god, you should be so much better than you are. Why do you suck? Why? You know, like, how many years have we been looking at Edmonton with like eight number one draft picks or whatever? Obviously, it's not eight. Yeah, I'm just being ridiculous.
All right.
But like, all these like young superstars, and they're just fucking terrible all the time. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't understand why you're so terrible. And now you have what, you know, could be considered the best player on the planet, if not, you know, in the top five for sure. Mm-hmm. And you still suck.
All right, but I mean, if you want to put that in perspective, I mean, Ottawa's only 10 points out of a playoff spot with games in hand. With games in hand.
We're in Ottawa. You can't compare Ottawa to Edmonton. I mean, we don't have Connor McDavid on our team.
You have Erik Karlsson.
We do have Erik Karlsson, and Erik Karlsson's been playing like a fucking man possessed. So has Mark Duchene, actually, or Matt Duchene. He's come up big in the last little while. We've strung together a couple of decent Yeah. A couple of decent
before
wins.
He started scoring, he was a mark for sure. Mark Duchesne. But yeah, no, he's played. He's played better, and had been playing better. Right. But all I'm saying with back to the Edmonton thing, really quick, I just don't see them being. I don't see it happening, and I have been heard a lot of this talk, and they're looking forward to the draft, and are they going to need? You know, like. They could fall right now. Like, this is one of those times they could fall, and maybe they get a one number one and number two. I mean, there's some good players there that could play with McDavid. Now, people would lose their shit if Edmonton won the draft again. But,
yeah.
I just, it doesn't look good. You know, I sent you that article. I don't know if you read it.
Yeah, the three teams, the Canadian teams, like, what was it? Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. The three, the most depressing teams, or the most depressing van team or fan base in Canada, and I thought it was they did a really good job breaking it down. I thought they did a really nice job breaking down each individual's, you know, different aspects of their game that could be better, maybe not. You know, I thought they did a good job with that. I really liked that article, but as that guy said, 4 out of 8 analysts had them. In the Stanley Cup Finals, two had them winning it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that was in preseason. In preseason. It's not even like it was last year.
I remember these talks, man. I remember some of our talks coming from the airport, and we're like, I even remember me specifically saying, like, why are they the Vegas favorite to win the Cup? I don't understand why they're so high up.
Yeah.
I didn't understand at that time. I mean, and now it's kind of proving, like, I didn't see it. I didn't see that this like dominant team. It wasn't like everybody knew Toronto was going to do well this year. Everybody just knew, right? Like they were good last year. They were you knew they were just going to improve, and they have. And you know, were they a Vegas favorite? Not mine. I mean, I would never have picked them to win the cup. I wouldn't pick them to win the cup. But I do remember saying they're probably going to make the playoffs because they were good defensively. They had some really good young offensive players. The goaltending was coming around, and they're well coached.
Who was it?
You know, Toronto.
Oh, they're not good defensively. They suck.
They were better defensively than they have been in years past. That's for sure.
They have offensive scoring. They just don't have defensive scoring. They just don't have defensive defense.
Yeah, you can't tell me that this version of Toronto is not better defensively than, say, 3 years ago version
of
Toronto.
Yes, they're better. They are.
They're better than they were, right?
And they do have some young talent.
Obviously, they have room for improvement. They're not an NHL powerhouse. But my point here is that I was looking at Toronto in the preseason, judging from what I saw last season, and I was like, you know what? They're probably going to make the playoffs. They've got a decent team, and you know they're well coached. They're going to be better. Than they were last year. I didn't see that necessarily with Edmonton. I wasn't like, you know, Edmonton showed me so much. It was like Connor McDavid played out of his fucking shoes last year, and I don't know. Were we going to see, like, what else did they have? I was never convinced that Leo Draisaitl was a $9 million man.
No, me neither.
No, I was never convinced of that. I was like, who is this guy? He just kind of comes out of nowhere. He had like a couple of average seasons. He gets put on a line with McDavid, kills
couple.
It.
He had one
and a good $9
season.
Million dollar man. Like,
one good season. Only one.
One.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, they've got issues to work out there. I mean, that's the Edmonton Tire Fire that is.
It is. Yep.
It is what it is. I mean, but elsewhere in the NHL, there's some good stories. I mean, Vegas is still a great story, being as it they're still second in the NHL, and you've got Winnipeg to me is a great story, and I'm as far as. Canadian content is concerned, they're definitely the best team in Canada at this point in time.
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't talked about it much, but I mean, the Calgary isn't doing that bad either.
Well,
man.
They're on a run. They are on a run. 7 in a row.
Calgary's played all right.
7 in a row. They're on a run. I mean, you got some hot teams right now in the middle of the season. Boston doesn't seem like they could ever lose. They did lose today, but they still got a point in OT. They're 7-0-3 in their last 10. So, like, we got some teams surging right now. and playing some good hockey. I'm not afraid of Boston personally as a Leaf fan in the playoffs. We've had their number most of the time. It'd be a hell of a series. But it looks more and more like that's going to be that's who we're going to see in the playoffs. I don't know. Hockey's fun. There's some weird teams that are in it, and there's some weird teams that, well, the same teams that aren't in it. They're it's a fun league this year.
It's true. I mean,
sorry, I'm just listening to my cat puke in the background, which is very disgusting. So I got a little bit distracted here while this cat just coughs up.
Oh fuck! I'm listening to my cat puke in the background.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my goodness!
That's disgusting.
That's beautiful.
And you had to do it like 4 times just to get one big chunk over there. Jesus!
So gross.
I hate cats. Yeah. So sorry that distracted
fuck cats.
Me for a moment. You know. The pleasures of not being a professional and doing this in my basement. But yeah, so, well, that's NHL. Do you have any more to say about the NHL?
Well, it's trade deadline.
Soon.
It's getting close.
Yeah.
Countdown
to
Trade Center.
You see any big trades happening?
I'm on Ottawa's end. It sounds like they're shopping Mike Hoffman.
I did hear that. I've been hearing lots more talk about Ekman Larson.
Yep. Vancouver's trying to get rid of what's that defenseman's name? Shit.
Yeah, I had the top 10 here. But I don't have it right now. There's going to be a couple moves, I imagine. But I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be big. I don't think it's going to be anything like world-shaking.
It never really is, I don't think. I don't know.
No. But that James Duthie just has 24... Him and Bob McKenzie, they're 24 hours worth of fucking Trade Center cover. You imagine? Those two must just be... That panel at Trade Center must be like, ugh. My God. You're going to have to talk about trades for 24 straight hours.
Eric.
Fuck my life.
Eric Grunbrinson from Vancouver.
I couldn't hear any of that.
Eric Goodbrinson?
Goodbrinson?
Yeah, whatever the fuck. Yeah, he's from Vancouver. He's on the. They got Evander Kane as the number one trade bait right now. I don't know how I feel about him yet, but
he's always on trade bait, isn't he? Was that guy gonna?
Yeah.
Is he even reached potential? I mean, or is he just missing potential? Like other star athletes we've seen in the past, where you think they're gonna be great and they just don't shut the fuck up.
He's got 35 points in 43 games. It's not a bad season. He's got 16 goals in the season. He's not terrible. So I mean, he's only 26 years old and he's only carrying a cap hit of 5.25. And if he's on pace to do a 70 points this year, then you know it's not bad. It's not a bad at 5.25.
That's fair.
Mike Green, I know, is another one Detroit shopping around. He's a little expensive, but he's doing really well in Detroit this year with 24 points this year. But he's at 6 mil cap hit, but he's 32. I'm not sure how long his contract is, but he'd probably be interesting trade bait out there.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that makes sense. Off topic here, can we jump back to the NFL for a split second?
I suppose we're gonna.
I would like to talk to you a little bit about John Gruden.
Oh yes.
What the fuck am I hearing here? Did he actually get part of the fucking Raiders?
I didn't hear that necessarily. I know he's making $100 million, which probably could be able to buy a part of the Raiders. Right? He's $10 million a year for 10 years. I don't know. I didn't hear that.
So what I had heard initially was that he was going to that he was going to get he was going to get part of the team.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if he is or not. I don't see anything of it, but I don't know. Maybe. But would you, not only that, I don't even think that I would be. That's not even the more news. Is would you pay him $100 million to be your coach? He doesn't even have a winning record.
He's a Super Bowl. He has a Super Bowl, and he had a winning record with.
He had one season. He doesn't have a winning record overall, and he has a Super Bowl. But I don't know if it had anything to do with him. I people are a little nervous about that. Not a lot of people think that that's a great idea. Do you think?
I don't think it was. I don't know, man. At okay, so yeah, $100 million over 10 years. Jesus Christ. That's craziness.
What's that?
That he's making $100 million.
Yeah. I told you that.
Wow, Gruden was making with ESPN, he was making $6.5 million a year.
Yeah.
He was making $6.5 million with ESPN?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Holy fuck.
The amount of money wow. These guys make?
I did not see that coming at all. I remember watching Undisputed with fucking Skip Bayless. Shannon Sharp. and he was like, he couldn't be making millions a year. Like, I don't think either of them are making $6.5 million a year working for ESPN. They must be like, once this contract came out, like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. Well,
10 million a season for a coach, man, that's setting a whole new precedent in the coaching market.
It is. Well, it is. And I imagine some coaches will sign for some big.
Yeah, what do you think Belichick's new contract's going to look like?
Oh.
And do coaches fall under the salary cap?
I actually hope Belichick leaves New England.
Me too.
I actually think might. There's a part of me that thinks he might.
Because it'd be awesome he's if he such did. A, like, went somewhere like Chicago.
He's a hard guy that he would totally be the type of guy to be like, because there's a lot of talk that he was pissed off about getting rid of Garoppolo
there.
And there's a lot of problems in there. And it wouldn't surprise me that he's just like, you know what? I don't need Brady to win championships. I'm going somewhere else. And he's just going to go do it. And he's going to let Brady kind of fuck it all up, and if because Brady's the type of quarterback that I can see him doing something stupid, like we just said that he was kind of crazy, of playing another 5 years and just, you know, turning in some awful performances on his last legs and turning it into a circus in his last few years. I could see something like that happen, just because you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just because
totally.
Of who they are, and they think they can play forever, and I can see something like that. And I could see Belichick just saying, ah, fuck that, I'm going somewhere else. You know? Ah, fuck it, I'll go to Cleveland, I'll make them a championship caliber team in 3 years.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
You imagine?
He was there once, that's where he started, I think.
Is that where he started, was Cleveland?
Yeah, I think he was an offensive coordinator, or a defensive coordinator.
You imagine, or he goes to Green Bay?
Yeah, I would appreciate him there, that's for sure, because it doesn't look like McCarthy's going anywhere, and him and his fucking bag of Doritos and that fucking, like.
Speaking of Doritos, I have a bag of Doritos right here. Oh. I'm looking forward to them, ketchup Doritos.
Ketchup.
Back for a limited time.
Oh.
Wasn't sure if you knew that.
I didn't. I did not know that. But moving on, I think it's time for the second player of the week.
Yeah, it's getting pretty late here, so
let's get on with it. Let's get it on. No.
Oh, nice. Stop. Right into song, eh? Stop. Let's get it on.
Okay, well, this is where I would hit that music.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You want to suck a dick?
It's time now for the Suck a Dick Player of the Week.
Remember it. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a fuck.
Suck my wiggly dick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, who is it? Who's yours?
It's your turn to go first this week.
It's my turn
to
go
both weeks in a row.
Oof. Mm. Oof. Oh, well, I got to go. And this is terrible, but I'm going to do it anyways. But if you're a safety in the NFL, mm-hmm. you have one job to do. Mm-hmm. And your only job is to tackle, because you're the last line of defense.
That's generally what safeties do.
Yeah,
they keep
it
safe.
Yeah, yeah. Last line of defense. You're not required to block. You're not required to... You're never pretty much required to do a sack. You're never, you know, you're never required to blitz. Your job is to be the last man back. And the last man back's job is to make sure that the opposing team does not score a touchdown or beat you long. And then when the game's on the line, you can't do that. You can't allow, with 14 seconds left, a touchdown like that and a missed tackle. I don't care if you are a rookie. For the New Orleans Saints, you can't do it. I'm sorry.
No, that's a terrible miss, man. Yeah, that's a terrible miss.
It was really bad. I mean, I have to say, and I hate to say it, but he's the second deck player of the week only because I imagine right now in New Orleans, they are that and I feel a little bit bad because I imagine the kid, you know, maybe he's going to be good out of it. Maybe he won't be, but it's not good. Not good for him. I don't think going home this week is not the way I'd want to go home.
No, you imagine as a rookie, man. Like, I hope that doesn't ruin that poor kid's career. You know what I mean? Like, he fucking slipped up in, like, the biggest moment, you know, of his playing career probably up to this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, oh, man, that has ruined people, right?
Well, it really has. And hopefully it doesn't ruin his career, but it could go the opposite way too. I mean, you could really, it could maybe make him better. Maybe he goes in your office. It's going to hurt for a little while, but yeah, I don't think he's going, what was his name?
What is his name? They're not talking about him. They're talking about Diggs, the guy that made the catch. They're not really going into this kid as much.
Andrew Sandejo.
Oh.
Andrew Sandejo. Yeah, the safety. It's going to be a tough long haul for him, I think. He's not going to... The next few months is going to be really tough on that kid.
Yeah.
So, I hate to say it, but you're the second pick player of the week. You have one job to do. Make the fucking tackle, kid.
Yeah, that's about it, man. What else can you say? That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that he's the suck-a-dick player of the week, because I feel bad for that kid.
I do too, but I made him that way, so I don't care.
Yeah.
My show.
Yeah, my show. Very good.
All right. Very Your good. Turn, sir.
All right, so my second player of the week this week, since I love the UFC, is Dana White.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just like so sick and tired of hearing Dana White talk.
Oh,
you know,
he's
oh
always
my God,
annoying
man.
Me.
Everything he spews out of his mouth, like he doesn't realize. And I watched a podcast with Tyron Woodley the other day, and he actually hit it on the head. What he does is he ruins guys' product. And what I mean by that is these fighters are a product. They're promoting themselves,
absolutely.
Right? That's what they do for 100%. A living. They fight. And, you know, if Dana White comes out and says, oh, my God, that was the most amazing fight ever, it takes the plebs, the people that just watch it, you know, very rarely and don't understand, like, the nuance of martial arts. They take a product like, say, Demetrius Johnson, who is, in my opinion, the best fighter I have ever seen, bar none. Like, he's unbelievable on the feet, his takedowns, his takedown defense, his submissions. Dude is a fucking killer, and, you know, 11 championship defenses proves it. right? He's gone through his division. But Dana White has constantly made that guy look like a piece of shit because they're like, he's like, ah, well, I mean, people, nobody likes the flyweights. Nobody likes to, you know, nobody likes those little guys. But he kills people's product, man. And that's what he does. And it's irritating to me because he'll take a guy like Connor who hasn't fought in almost 2 years and he still builds him up. He still keeps him in the news. He still tries to keep him relevant.
Yeah.
And that to me is irritating because now it's turning into pro wrestling, which I love. But that's not what the UFC is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a legitimate sport.
That's what it is.
Sell your fighters. And stop hampering these guys' business. You're killing their product.
You know, they talk about that in wrestling. It's funny. I was going to bring up that analogy that they do it all the time. They, you know, the no-sell. The no-sell jobs, the burials. And it is very much like that. And he doesn't do a good job promoting
certain guys.
Fighters, yeah.
Certain guys. He does a great job promoting certain people, and he does a shit job promoting other people. And he's always got to throw his opinion in there, and he doesn't realize, or he does, and he's doing it on purpose. He's killing a product. He's killing your product, man. Like, if you have, you know, people coming out and you've got a product that you've made, you make a beer, and, you know, some dude who's famous on YouTube for drinking beer says your beer sucks, people are going to take that. You are going to lose fucking sales. That's just what happens. And these guys are trying to sell themselves for pay-per-views, man. That's what it's turned into. Whoever gets the most pay-per-view buys is going to get the most money, going to get the title shot, going to get the interim title. Mm-hmm. That's what happens, right? It's no longer a legit sport of, like, number one contenders with a set ranking. You know what I mean?
Right.
And no, that, to me, is why Dana White can suck a fucking suck a big plow.
I wholeheartedly agree. The thing with Dana White that bothers me about the UFC is that it's always been kind of charade, and he's the type of guy that if you don't go out of his way to suck his dick, he's going to bury you. And I don't know, for a guy who owns a business as big as the UFC is, it seems childish and just not very professional the way he runs things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough to legitimize that sport when you got a guy like that still running the show. But
yep,
we'll see what happens.
Might as well just have Vince McMahon coming out there getting Stone Cold Stunned.
Stone Cold Stunner.
Yep.
You know what? Maybe he'll come out and do it. Maybe he'll do it one time. All right, it's time for the Buttery Biscuits Player of the Week.
It's time for the Buttery Biscuits Player of the Week.
What the shit biscuit?
And that guy's got ability from the waist down, and he'll use it.
All right, Magic, your groin couldn't have felt any better.
Ooh, yummy.
Those tight ends are huge, and Tom loves those tight ends.
I can't believe it's not bothering.
Yo, biscuits.
Oh, I got a good one.
I do too. Okay, you go.
Oh. All right, my Buttery Biscuit Player of the Week, Dustin Johnson.
Ooh.
Oh, buddy, did you see that drive that he hit at the Century Tournament of Champions?
432
yards.
32? I was going to say 32.
To within less than a foot.
That was pretty impressive.
Dude, man, I've been watching the on
Paulina
YouTube. They have,
is
like,
it Paulina?
Highlight compilation packages. You know, you can watch, like, the highlights of that tournament. He is, like, unbelievable with the driver, man. Like, he was fucking murdering that thing all week. It's crazy. What he can do with the driver, just phenomenal. Phenomenal.
That's Paulina, right?
That's Paulina,
buttering
Paulina
Gretzky's biscuits. Yes.
Oh, dude. Buttering those biscuits and then, like, posting about it on Instagram so her followers can find out that her biscuits just got buttered.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Mrs. Buttersworth right there.
Mrs. Buttersworth. Yeah, no, he's he can drive a ball.
Oh, my God. Can he ever play?
I have to call bullshit on the time about 2 months ago when he said Tiger Woods was hitting the ball longer than him at the driving range.
Yeah, I'm going to say bullshit, too. I mean, like, I'm watching Dustin unload on this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that, sir, is a non-surgically repaired spine you have there. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. That is an athlete. He is.
Yeah.
He's just a stud, and he's got that walk like a gunslinger, eh? Like, he just struts to the green like, yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah.
I hit long ball.
Well, he's a man.
Big deal.
He's a man. He can hit a ball. My buttery biscuits player of the week, sticking with the same area, but the other side of the ball, the one who took it down for a touchdown, who had 137 yards on the day, average of 22 yards, 6 catches, and a TD, and that 61-yarder to win the game for the Minnesota Vikings, Sean Diggs.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm guessing anything he wants in Minnesota.
There's
butter flying.
Yeah. He's got so much, man. He's just trying to pick it up, stuff it all in his pockets. Oh, he's just like, I don't even know what to do with all this.
God, yeah. He can't have all the biscuits in one place. Can't even fill his basket then some.
Yeah, there's Minnesota fans at home that are sending their wives over there. Like, you get over there and you let him butter them bucket biscuits.
Absolutely. I want him signing it in butter. Yeah.
That's it, eh? We're going to the AFC Championship game, bud. You go over there, Mrs., and you let him butter the fuck out of those biscuits.
He had a hell of a day, and I'll give some love to Case Keenum because there's a guy who came in for Sam Bradford this year, and he's done a really good job with Minnesota.
Yeah, did a really good job.
So, yeah.
All right.
That's all I got. That's all I want to do today.
All right. Good.
I'm done.
That's all I want to do, too. And now it's time, for me to go to bed because I got to get up early and catch a flight and go back to work.
All right. Sweet. Sounds good. I am also going to go to bed because I am weak. And
you're made of nougat.
Shrivel inside. What's that?
You're made of nougat.
Nougat, yes.
Yeah, nougat.
I
like nougat.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you don't like nougat?
No.
You know, like a Mars bar, you know, full of nougat.
I didn't know what that was called, actually.
It's nougat. But now that you know.
You keep saying it like I should know. I don't know. Delicious. I don't know this word.
I could tell you were really confused. I'm like, why is he so confused with nougat?
I don't know.
It's a nougaty center.
It does sound delicious. I mean,
it is delicious. It is. Put caramel on top of nougat? I mean, fuck, man. I'm just saying, you're not the same when you're hungry, Bill.
And miserable.
Yeah.
I was really miserable today, actually. You cheered me up, Kevin.
Thanks. Hopefully you don't have any more awkward no-hug moments.
Whatever. It's all fun. Isn't life three of curveballs like that? Like, it's fun. Like, there is... Like, socially awkward moments are just the greatest. I had a great time trying to explain it after, too. Like,
oh, dude. Such a funny story. Okay, I can't wait to kind of replay this and listen to it when you post it, just to hear that story again. Because it's just like, I just got this mental image. I want to send you this video of, like, Mr. Bean avoiding hugs.
Oh, yeah.
It's like totally awesome. You're just like, boom, the hand goes in like, ah!
I know what you're talking about. That's the best one, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh my god, I posted that not too long ago too. That's actually a great meme for that.
All right, dude, anyway, good talking to you.
Okay, dude.
And we'll be in touch.
All right, until next time.
All right, buddy. Later.
See you.